You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Productions, its ownership, management, or staff.
We've got the power.
This is Politics with Reverend John Coates, heard exclusively on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Breaking news coming to us out of the Associated Press tonight. Very sad news for the entertainment industry. Of course, on this weekend of the Grammys, we're getting word that Whitney Houston, age 48 years old, has died. Again, we're trying to find out the cause of death.
So we are just getting confirmation now, and it is sad news, and we're going to continue with this breaking news as long as we can here. But singer Whitney Houston, 48, she has died. We've just learned from her representative, who is Kristen Foster, confirming that now. We had,
like so many pop stars, Miss Houston became addicted to drugs. Over the years, she was in and out of rehab, apparently using powerful addictive narcotics like cocaine. Reports say she also drank heavily. It is obvious the woman destroyed herself, and over the weekend, she was found dead in a bathtub at a Los Angeles hotel.
AmenRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, and you're in touch with Inside Politics, and I'm the Reverend John Coates, and this is radio, the way it should be heard. Whitney Houston is dead. Dead at 48 years old. Died the day before the annual Grammy Award celebration. Died in a bathtub with people in her room having partied the night before. And this is Inside Politics, and today we're going to discuss the politics of the entertainment industry. The politics of the entertainment industry, and I'm so pleased and honored to have with me today an entertainment professional legend, promotion legend, by the name of Maurice Alford. Greetings, Maurice Alford.
Good afternoon.
You know what? You're not aging a day. You look the same way you did 12 years ago.
Well, that's a great thing.
It is a good thing. I'm also...
Thank God.
Thank God. That's right. Give credit to whom credit is due. And I'm also honored to have with me today Mr. Keith Shaw, who is a drug and alcohol treatment professional. Greetings, Keith Shaw.
How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great, and as a friend of mine would tell me frequently, I'm doing vertical.
Oh, that's good
news. I'm vertical because Whitney is horizontal right now.
Toes up.
Yeah, toes up, but I am vertical, and I'm also honored to have on the line with me today a man who frequents the West Coast but also is known throughout the world. He is an international evangelist, and I'm honored to have with me Prophet Jordan Rogers. Good day, sir.
Man, it's such a good day, and like you said, we're vertical, so it's a blessing to be here with you. Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you for being here. Look, with the politics of the music industry, you know, talent isn't difficult to find in America. I can walk down any main street USA, walk into any storefront church, and find talented men and women who could sing most of the people that's on the charts right now under a rock. So some people make it in the music industry. Some people don't make it in the music industry. And of course, on Inside Politics, we define politics as being the politics is the control or the influence over limited resources. So there's a lot of people with talent, but yet only a few people, and even some people that have marginal talent, and there's some folks with no talent that seem to find fame and success, financial success within this industry. Maurice Alford, you know, what makes the difference for an entertainer? How can an entertainer become successful? Is it just being in the right place at the right time? Are the I'm not an astrologist, but are the stars having to be aligned? Does that person have to have a special, I'm going to use Pentecostal language, some Christianese on you. Does the person have to have a special anointing? What does it take for someone to be successful in the music industry? You're a man of music industry information.
Well, I would say that all of the above apply, along with you got to be in the right place at the right time. It's a matter of packaging. You got to have a look, and just depending upon what slot the industry's trying to fill. So you got to have a look, you got to have some talent, and then you got to have the right set of folks around you.
A look, some talent, and the right set of folks around you. Okay, some talent. We know that it takes some talent, not necessarily all talent, because we see a lot of performers on the scene right now that really don't seem to have a lot of talent.
That would be correct. And then the big thing, too, is the songwriting team.
Uh-huh.
The songwriting team, the production, so all of those are assembled by
having good material.
Yeah, all of those are assembled by the boutique type labels.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you explain to me how an artist makes money out of? Let's talk about the no. I'm sorry. Let me reverse this the order. How does an artist become popular first?
Popular is determined by airplay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is becoming increasingly more difficult now that you got chain stores as opposed to mom and pop stations. You've got to have publicity, appearing on the talk shows, the night shows, the morning shows, and that's where your politics come involved. Newspaper articles around the country, all the source magazines. The newspapers, the industry type newspapers to get people to play your music.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to be out there now supporting it by visiting the cities.
Okay, just touring, right?
That's
and
touring.
Promoting your going promoting. To record stores, malls, and and where else do people go now to promote their
they're
clubs
online.
And
online presence these days, having to pop up on your iPhone.
Wow. Okay. So that's promotion and fame. Now, how does the money side work? Now, I know you can make money if you're a writer of material, but how does that all work?
Well, the artist gets paid for normally performances. Now they got a record deal, and as a result of the record deal, they've signed a deal in which they get paid X number of percentages for record sales. But then that's after the company has recouped the cost that they've dished out initiating this whole process. Most of the time, artists make more money touring and performing out at the concert venues.
So they have to get up and do those tours in order to make money. Well, one man, one woman focuses on relationships. Join Ed and Sharon as they take on some of the toughest and most taboo issues confronting love, marriage, infidelity, and sex. Broadcast live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. here on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. So they have to tour in order to make those touring dollars.
Make the touring dollars. In today's market, with the horizons of the hip-hop generation and the rap, you get paid a lot more money, so you don't have to work as long or as hard. It's very easy for a new rap guy to come out here and pick up $50,000 a night.
So
as opposed in the old days, you may have Whitney Houston, for example, when she first hit. She was touring at $7,500 per night, and then it escalated within a few weeks to $50,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also talked about having the right set of people around you, and this is what I'm going to kind of move this conversation into this direction. It seems as if that some of the people that are around some of these entertainers,
that have questionable characters. They're kind of, my mother used to use the term seedy. It used to be kind of seedy, and I'm not talking about those seeds that some of you used to try to get out of your bag before you rolled it up in those papers that they sell at the corner store. But they were kind of seedy characters, and I've read accounts and have heard artists tell me that when they went in to record their projects that they were encouraged to take drugs, to smoke marijuana, to snort cocaine, to get high while performing.
Well, let me say that that occurs, and it depends on the artist itself. The some artists need something to set the mood, and they find that in alcohol, they find it in drugs. Others have, stimulants that, and I was like shocked. One of the rockers I know, he goes in and he puts on a high profile religious tune and it just pumps him up. And I said, oh my.
We're promoting that. That's a good stimulant.
Yeah.
That's a good stimulant. But there's a lot of artists that we see every night on Entertainment Tonight and Access Hollywood that seemingly have drug and some type of substance abuse problems. And as we trace back their problem, it seemed that their habit was formed by people that they met once they came into the music industry, that these folks are constantly around giving them their stimulant in order so that they can be high and be creative.
Well, the music industry promotes fun, and the substance abuse normally starts out recreational and then becomes a dependency issue, and people do it in the name of fun, and then fun becomes a habit.
Wow. Well, Whitney Houston was partying the night before. She had a substance abuse problem and admitted one. And she was partying the night before the Grammys. And I want to listen to what Kelly Price, the famed singer Kelly Price, had to say about a party she had that Whitney Houston attended.
Yeah, everyone pretty much had champagne at some point in the night. They were toasting the event, toasting the Grammy nominations. That's what was going on. She was not high. I'm a girl that grew up in the projects in New York City. I know high when I see it. She was not high. We were literally just having a great time. We were having a celebratory time. And I stick to it because it's the truth. And I stick to the truth because I'm so glad, if nothing more, I'm so glad that in this moment I can say that I had the pleasure of spending time with my friend for the last time, and she wasn't high. Mm. She was happy. And that's the way I get an opportunity to remember her. Well, no, I wasn't worried about it. I didn't see where it was excessive. I saw her with a couple of glasses of champagne, and then our interactions were normal. There was nothing that seemed that it was over the top. She didn't seem to be intoxicated to me. Again, I know intoxicated when I see it. And so I wasn't worried about it at all. I don't even think that for her, the night was about being in a club.
Keith Shaw, help me. Okay, help me, please. Okay, is that the type? Do you think a party environment where people, where the champagne is flowing, is the right type of environment for a Whitney Houston who has who's battling with known addiction, to be in? Is it permissible? Is it acceptable for her to, even though she had a cocaine problem, or a marijuana problem, is it okay for her to go to a party and have a few drinks?
Well, let me talk to that, John. First of all, evidently, Miss Price has not experienced being in that environment of having a substance abuse.
Okay.
First of all, when you look at most people who are struggling in and out, understand one clear fact. I cannot, without question, have anything that will alter my mood. Not one thing.
Because the goal of treatment is abstinence from drugs and alcohol, I would have thought.
Oh, absolutely. And what happens is over time, there's a little part of your brain that gets fed by the substance. And what happens is when you stop utilizing that substance, your body comes back between 6 and 12 months, it starts to produce its normal endorphins.
Uh-huh.
But see, you are born in most cases with this issue.
Wow.
This is something that there's a genetic disposition or predisposition for it. And so if you're a part of recovery, as we say in the industry, you know, and Whitney knew, you cannot have a sip of champagne.
Well, you know what? Apparently, everybody in the industry obviously did not have the same mindset as Kelly Price. And I don't know what planet or what perspective she was coming on. Kelly Price, wake up, girl. Wake up. Wake up. Open up your blind eyes. Let's hear what Chaka Khan had to say.
I was an addict. I know. If I were on a set of a movie, even now, I've recovered for 7 years. We'd have made, if I was coming to a city like L.A., we'd have made specific plans that I come in night before or day of performance. Especially if you're not, you've gone into proper treatment and gotten your situation handled. Yeah, that was the first big mistake, for her to come in an entire week before her performance at the party. Mm-hmm. I'd have never done that.
I was just shocked that it was happening. I was seeing all these pictures of her apparently falling out of clubs and covered in whether it was blood or wine, but certainly the fact that she was drinking in public in these clubs in Hollywood seemed to me a potential recipe for disaster.
It was. It absolutely was. And I stand by that. I stand on that. Whoever flew her out.
I'm thankful to my special correspondent, Pierce Morgan. It's always good to have people in the field, you know. But apparently Chaka knew. She's been clean for 8 years. She knows not to put herself in that type of environment. Why do you think friends let friends drive drunk and use drugs, even though they know that they're addicts, Keith?
Well, let's look at it from the perspective of, are they really your friends? And that's really what we have to come down and look at it from the perspective. If most people who know me as a recovering addict understand very clearly, I cannot be in that environment.
Well,
if my true friends see me,
mm-hmm.
they look at me and go, why are you here? So let's clarify what friends, acquaintances, and those types are who just want to be around you because of who you are.
Well, it was another interesting thing that's happening. Everyone's painting Whitney to be this angel that turned bad when Bobby Brown came into her life. Let's see what Jennifer Holliday, what do you have to say about Whitney using drugs?
Well, I can say this, that we were all around a lot of drugs, and that she had, I hate to say that she had started before. She had met Bobby Brown.
Well, she started before she met Bobby Brown. That's a firsthand testimony. So, you know, what's the correct environment to set for someone that's suffering from substance abuse?
Well, just as the one, statement that you had, you have to be in total control of where you're at and where you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot by chance walk in on anything. That's if you're truly trying to be clean. So the environment has to be alcohol and, of course, drug free. I mean, no question. I just seen a documentary on one of the Baldwin brothers, and in his documentary, he was moving off of cocaine, but in his documentary, he was filming his documentary. See, one thing I realized in the entertainment industry, rehab is just as much sometimes a publicity stunt as the problem itself.
Wow. A publicity stunt. So it's fake rehab, or they know they're just going to get press from the rehab?
Well, you look at it from this, you know, the most dying, you know, careers of, you know, most actors and singers, they need They need to be seen or heard.
Well, I tell you what, TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio and the home of Brother K, educating to liberate on Conversate in the AM. Stay right there. Do entertainers make a deal with the dark side? I'm going to ask Prophet Jordan Rogers up next.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, broadcasting live in partnership with Bounce 23 TV. It's the 3rd Congressional District Democratic Candidates Debate from 7 to 9 p.m. February 22nd at the King Arts Complex, 867 Mount Vernon Avenue in Columbus, Ohio. Gotta hear it live.
Come one, come all to the African-American Male Wellness Walk, a free community event, February 23rd, 12 noon to 2 p.m. at the Summit Trace Healthcare Center, 935 North Cassidy Avenue in Columbus, Ohio. Juvenile wellness of mind, body, and spirit and prevention of obesity is high walk health priorities for 2012 and every year. Keynote speaker is Dr. Charles Noble Jr., M.D. Panelists are Dr. Clayton N. Hicks, O.D., Dr. Jacqueline Lewis-Lyons, and Mr. LaJuan Coleman of iResolve Fitness. To register, call the walk at 614-857-1811. Lunch is free to all pre-registers for the event. Call 614-857-1811.
The SCORE Association, Service Corps of Retired Executives, was formed in 1964 as a nonprofit association dedicated to the entrepreneurial education and the formation, growth, and success of small businesses nationwide. More than 10,500 volunteer members provide individual counseling, mentoring, and business workshops for aspiring entrepreneurs and small business owners. The association is headquartered in Washington, D.C., with 389 chapters throughout the United States and its territories. For more national information, contact SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. Again, that's SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. This has been a public service announcement from TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. TalkTainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
Robert Johnson is considered the king of the Delta blues. He's also considered the father of rock and roll. It is very significant that Johnson would be considered the father of rock and roll, as it is alleged that he had sold his soul to Satan in Clarksdale, Mississippi, in exchange for guitar playing abilities and worldwide fame. It was after Johnson made his alleged pact with Satan that he became the king of the Delta blues. Bluesmaster B.B. King said, quote, as a musician, Robert Johnson had it all. Bluesmaster and Johnson's mentor, Son House, set up him before Johnson's transformation.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is Reverend John Coates, and you're listening to Inside Politics. I'm joined by entertainment specialist Maurice Alford, treatment specialist Keith Shaw, and on the line, Prophet Jordan Rogers. How are you, Prophet Jordan?
Yes, sir.
Rogers, you still there? All right, great. Look, the dark side, man. You know, we just heard about Robert Johnson, the famed blues guitarist that sold his soul to the devil back in Clarksdale, Mississippi, and they say that it's just a legend. Now, Prophet, do you think that it's real, or is it Memorex? Do artists make a pact with evil, with Satan, the Beelzebub, that dastardly demon from the pits of hell? Do they make a deal with him in order to secure any level of success?
Would we say that all entertainers do this? We wouldn't be that extreme with it.
Okay.
But to say that it happens, absolutely, I believe it. Matter of fact, this is as recently as October 15th, 2009, Bob Dylan, an entertainer, admitted to selling his soul to the devil while being interviewed on 60 Minutes.
Wow, the great folk artist.
Absolutely. So when you consider that also when you reach certain heights of success, I mean, you know, you don't have to find the devil. He's going to find you, because now you become an influence. So you have the opportunity to influence. And the reason I believe that drugs play an important part in this connection is because, you know, a lot of times we don't understand what we're dealing with when we speak of drug use and the connection of it to witchcraft and it being a spiritual type of connection between the paranormal underworld and that being enhanced in the mind. And it says the connection between drugs and sorcery. Those who worship at the throne of chemical gods of the religion of evolution science, espoused by modern medicines for decades, might do well to consider that the word sorcery, found in both the Old and New Testaments, were actually Greek words for pharmakia, meaning medication or pharmacy.
Well, Keith Shaw, you work with addicts every day. Do you recognize that there's any type of dark spiritual force that's accompanying their addiction as they deal with it? I know we use the term that people deal with their demons. I heard people say several times that Whitney Houston has her demons. But when you deal with people that are suffering from a substance abuse and they're trying to recover, do you recognize that there's any type of spiritual component to it?
Well, let me just say that my foundation is a Christ-centered relationship that I have.
Okay.
And understanding from that perspective, I very much believe, because I believe in a spiritual warfare. And so having said spiritual warfare, before I enter into the facility I work at, there's prayer and consecration that I must prepare for.
Okay.
I've seen individuals through prayer while I was there get up and run out. And I have to ask the question, why did they run out?
Mm-hmm.
Did they run out because of who came with me? Because that's how I look at it.
But you didn't go in there by yourself.
I never go in there by myself.
So it's not too big. Buff men with white on that's with you.
No. There's a story of Elijah and his servant.
Uh-huh.
And when Elijah prayed to his servant to expose his servant to all the angels in chariots who was with him. And having said that, when the servant seen, he felt comfortable that what was coming against them, they had no fear, because what was with them was greater than what was coming against them.
How long did it take you to realize that there was a spiritual component? When did you first realize that there was a spiritual component to it?
Well, I've actually did some research in biblical research and really tried to understand what was really going on in, you know, drugs are known as spirits. If you notice, alcohol is called spirits marijuana is, most people don't know, what's called the demon weed.
Demon weed.
Yeah. And so having said that, and even in my own experience, I've actually experienced transformation and transfiguration of people around me. I was exposed to very clear demonic presence. So I'm confident that there's a spiritual warfare.
Prophet Jordan Rogers, our quest for success, our quest for fame, our quest for popularity, our quest for money, especially within the black community now, a lot of kids don't desire to be lawyers or doctors or police officers or preachers anymore. They desire to be football players, NFL star, NBA star, or rap artists, or singing. Everyone wants to enter into some form of entertainment. And with that desire to be famous, do you think that makes people more susceptible to even crossing people raised in the church? Does it make it more susceptible to crossing over into the dark side and making that deal with the devil?
Let's consider another. I'll answer your question in presenting a couple of examples that's leading up to the present and current situation that we're dealing with Whitney Houston.
Please.
We have an individual who was born Norma Jean Mortensen.
Okay.
She was baptized as Norma Jean Baker. But we know her as Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
And so we now see her shoot and catapult to fame. However, she was cut down at an early age of 36.
Mm-hmm.
She, too, entered into drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, it is thought through her death that she OD'd, and they were, of course, looking into the connection of her, the CIA, and then different elements of the establishment.
And apparently but a president, and apparently apparently a president and an attorney general entered into her, and God knows who.
Exactly right. But then, you know, she's flirting along that side, and then we have another individual named Vera Jane Palmer, but we know her as Jane Mansfield.
Wow.
And this situation is really interesting because she, in her connections, were connected to a person that is listed in a list of her lovers as Anton LaVey.
Ooh.
Now, you know, if we don't know who Anton LaVey is, he established
the Church of Satan,
the head of the witchcraft church, the Church of Satan on the West Coast, and you would be surprised who frequented that church. It is safe to say that Sammy Davis also was in connection with this church, as well as several other entertainers. So when you look at the spiritual aspect of how one rises up, Marilyn Monroe came out of foster care, and then you have Whitney Houston came out of the church. But in all, you get people with great talent who have great gifts. Then you see where they are oftentimes pimped by those who say they love them, whether be it their parents or relatives or friends or whatever. And then on the other side, you see where the enemy is drawn to that. Because commercially speaking, we live in a world where corporations draw to anything that can make them money, and behind the money is also the whole see the strings attached to manipulating people into doing their bidding. So there is a direct connection, and our children are being swept away because they're seeing that as long as they can get a talent, they can make a quick dollar. But at this point, I don't even know that they know what's moving them, other than that there's a spirit moving this this generation in pop culture.
Wow.
And we have not put enough words that would bring gravity to the heart of our children by speaking life and word into them. Fathers are in prison and incarcerated. If you're looking at the black community, and you're looking at so many different disparages in poverty rates, that this thing is moving in so many different directions that it would be hard to just center it on just the connection between drugs and the Church of Satan and the community.
Wow. You
because
know,
we also are free will. So,
and, you know, I want to give, for those of you that are listening, I want to give you two names that you can Google, look up, and research. The prophet just gave one, Antoine Levine. I'm going to give you another one, Aleister Crowley. Look those names up, and you'll learn a lot about the dark side that really exists, and a lot of it is centered in Southern California as well. Now, we're hearing this word frequently now throughout on the Internet and on the news. We're hearing this word Illuminati. a lot, and they're saying that a lot of the artists belong to a secret organization called the Illuminati. Do you know anything about this organization and how it has artists involved with it?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay. Oh, my. Well, when you deal with anything corporate money, or when you deal with anything dealing with banking, if you need a loan for anything, if you need the bank for anything, you are connected to the Illuminati. If you were born, you know, from birth, because you're dealing with the top 500, possibly even fewer, most wealthy families in the world. And you are also dealing with a Luciferian force behind it. So you're not talking about a people or people who's moving with just an intellect, but it's with an underworld intellect of how to incarcerate and enslave humanity. So you know, on all aspects of really being able to study this, you're looking at like a double octopus, one body with a double octopus. I mean, the number of fangs to this is just multiple. When you look at Whitney Houston and you see her taking a picture, behind her is MasterCard. You know, you have to understand who was financing her, wow, who was banking Michael Jackson. Even when you mentioned Aleister Crowley and different, man, I'm telling you, this thing is so crazy. It goes back to Lincoln, maybe why Lincoln was murdered in his coming against the banks and different quotes that he made. And then when you look at Alexander Hamilton, who ushered in the banking industry, so that then when you look at the takeover of the Federal Reserve in 1913 under Woodrow Wilson, you have pretty much the takeover of America and American currency. So technically speaking, behind any great successful entertainer is a financial system. And that financial system is what fuels that person to be able to do what they do. So they don't always have a say on what is produced. They can have a subliminal message wrapped in the package of a song, but they're not always in control of that, because even behind the finance of the money, there are caretakers and people who are placed around to move that career. And hey, if you're not producing, maybe you're more, maybe you're worth more dead than alive.
Well, so Keith, I would then think then that the introduction of drugs to artists is a control mechanism, with some of your clients, people that you have been involved in their treatment. Does there seem to be any pattern as to how they are introduced to drugs?
You know, the pattern's changed. Most people don't really realize that the introduction, the process is the same, but now they're going into suburbia, and they've actually focused and created, I would say, a marketing plan to get to those areas, where back when I remember, our neighborhoods were really targeted. But let me say this, that once you get someone in that position, you basically have control. So if they're being asked to use before they perform or prepare to perform, that's a form of control. And so, yes, I would say that, you know, the way things are shaping up, who's coming into the treatment centers nowadays, they're majority white, under 27.
That young.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if it's our people can't afford the treatment. I'm not sure. But I know right now that the kids that are coming in have the credit, have the insurance cards. And so it's really interesting.
Oh, so it seems like now there's so it's the industry.
It's very
an
much
industry.
So
okay, don't get no broke folks addicted to drugs. Get some folks to have some insurance so that we can fund. It's like the funding of the pharmaceutical industry. And thank you for breaking that down, Prophet Jordan Rogers, about pharmaceuticals.
You know what? Matter of fact, can I chime in one thing? Since you said that, let me just add this real quickly. It's funny you would say that, because this is very interesting. Heroin was launched as a medicine by Felix Hoffman, an employee of Bayer, only a few days after he invented aspirin.
Like Bayer aspirin.
Immediately applied for a trademark on term Heroin, then began marketing the drug as a cure for morphine addiction and as cough syrup for children. Park Davis, a subsidiary of Pfizer, promoted and sold cocaine. It even produced a cocaine injection kit complete with a syringe for shooting up.
Wow.
And you can view the picture itself in certain places. So, I mean, it goes on and on, man, about methamphetamine, Ritalin is speed for children, Merck has been manufacturing morphine for opium as a heavy pusher for marketing cocaine. I mean, it goes on and on how drugs have played a part not just in the sedation of entertainers, but of America itself.
Wow, you know, TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio broadcasting in partnership with Bounce 23 TV. It's the third Congressional District Democrat candidates debate from 7 to 9 p.m. February the 22nd at the King Arch Complex, 867 Mount Vernon Avenue. State news and views will kick off the live broadcast at 6 p.m. Stay right there. Look, we're going to find out who are the handlers, who are the pimps in this industry up next.
I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. I'm lucky to grow up where I could be whatever I want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm a champion, realize Shaq's mechanism. Yah, 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 yah. Yah, yah, yah.
By Shaquille O'Neal for rap. He's not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
My name is Ruth Rusi. I volunteer with United Way, reading to children to help prepare them for a better academic future. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRIS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is the Reverend John Coach. You're listening to Inside Politics. I'm here with entertainment specialist Maurice Alford, treatment specialist Keith Shaw, and my friend Prophet Jordan Rogers on the line. Prophet Jordan Rogers, how are you doing, man? You hanging in?
Oh, I'm hanging in, man.
Man, you mentioned something powerful just a few moments ago. You talked about pimps that are in the industry. Now, there's one pimp I want to expose right now is Whitney Houston's pimp. Whitney Houston's pimp, I call him the grand warlock of the music recording industry, Mr. Clive Davis. That's right, Clive. Old Clive Davis, man. These guys got to be floating somewhere near around 80, if not 90 years old. What type of human growth hormone are you taking each day, Clive Davis? But it's real interesting. This man who is a Harvard graduated attorney, went to Harvard Law School, graduated in the late 50s, became the assistant general counsel for a major record label. When he fresh out of law school, less than a year after getting out of law school, he becomes the general counsel. This is the man that has represented and has controlled portions of CBS records. He's the man that signed artists like Janis Joplin. Janis Joplin. He signed Earth, Wind, and Fire, and the list goes on and on and on. The number of artists that are associated with this warlock, and it was his annual party, in which I call the Coven Gathering, that takes place every pre-Grammy evening, where all stars make sure that they assemble. Whitney Houston dies Saturday, and Clive Davis still has his party on that night, where everybody puts on their tuxedos and gowns and walks the red carpet, and they come into this ballroom to see what the grand wizard, what the grand warlock has to say why Whitney Houston's dead body lies levels or floors above them. You know, Prophet, these evil folks are in position to make money off of these artists, and the artists generally suffer. We've heard reports that Whitney Houston was broke. And she was trying to borrow $10, $20, $100 here, $100 there from friends. How could she be broke, man?
Yeah, well, she prospered as her soul prospered. You know, and that's the whole thing, man. You know, it's the way that you, you know, you're pulled away from your power source. You're brainwashed into thinking that your life has changed. You think in your mind you finally hit it. You buy into the mirage that you're actually on your way out and up. You know, there's plenty of money because that's what the enemy, you know, that's how the devil works. He basically sucks you into a lie. Even after you've entered into a Bones and Skulls fraternity group and you've arrived, you know what I mean? You know, you get all these gifts and great things begin to happen, but it comes with a price.
Well,
and you have to pay the piper. And that's what, you know, we have to understand. Everything comes with a price.
Well, you mirage. You buy into something that just isn't there. You know, the same thing, Michael Jackson. They said that he was having financial problems. Michael dies, and now he's worth more dead than what he was alive, supposedly. And he has, and Whitney Houston dies the day after her death. Seven of her songs are in the top 10 downloads for iTunes. Somebody.
Well, and then too, Michael Jackson was the template for you. We have to be very careful here.
Uh-huh.
Because we're entering into a real, real interesting time. You know, you look at Michael Jackson's death and the reports. I mean, even before that, they were reporting, the blind guy, what's his name? And forgive me for not being able to remember him, but Jamie Foxx played his character.
Oh, Ray Charles.
Ray Charles estate. Elvis Presley is still making money on
Elvis.
His estate. So,
yes.
So it's coming out that, yes, you can be worth more dead than alive. And that is what an entertainer has to be careful of, is that
Tupac and Biggie.
Is their time up?
Right, Tupac and Biggie, same. It's the same thing. But you know, not only do the secular people have positioned themselves to make money from the death of an entertainer, but I was shocked to hear the words of one bishop down in Dallas, Texas, by the name of Thomas Jakes. Thomas Jakes, what do you have to say about it, sir?
Like many of you have heard the shocking news about Whitney Houston. And I share the shock and was just deeply stunned. I'm going to ask the church to really reach out in prayer for her family. Sometimes when you're a celebrity, people forget that you're a person. This morning, I had the privilege of working with Whitney on the remake of Sparkle in Detroit.
Listen to this.
And it's an amazing thing. We were able to finish the project and to capture the final film. We didn't know it would be the final film that she would do. She was amazing on the set, and I have so many things to be said about her talent and her fierce quality. And we were calling each other back and forth last night saying, little did we know that when those cameras stopped rolling, that would be the last capturing of her in film. It pays so much to do what God says do, when God says do it, with whom God says do it, for you don't know the day nor the hour. And I want to challenge you as a believer, whenever you meet anybody from any walk of life, no matter what you heard, no matter what you think, no matter what you read, treat people with love and respect and dignity, because you don't know. You just don't know.
You just don't know. You just don't know. You just don't. You just don't. You just don't know. You just don't know that the people that you meet and when you're walking down the street each day, that they may, if you use them correctly, they might die and you might get rich. You might get rich off of them. You know, he was like saying, you just don't know. But could you believe that? We chose Whitney Houston. In fact, Jakes was so happy about the fact that now his movie's going to be a blockbuster, he even called her a wonderful and sensational actress. Now, we all saw The Bodyguard. You know, she wasn't really known for her acting ability. We all saw Waiting to Exhale. You know, she wasn't really waiting for her Academy Award for that. We enjoyed her singing in The Preacher's Wife, but she really wasn't known as a great singer. And our children even watched Cinderella. But she's not known as a wonderful actress. But this time around, somebody's going to make some money, and that somebody's name is Thomas Jakes, Bishop T.D. Jakes. Well, you just don't know. you are benefiting from the tragic death of a Whitney Houston. Are you surprised that a man of God prophet would take this position?
Yes, I am very shocked, and this is a very great opportunity for me to be able to vocal a bit of frustration over it, because man, you look at individuals who gain a great platform. When they gain a great platform, it becomes commercialized. It's almost like, you know, when the Lord allows us into heaven, you know, we go to chipping at the gold in heaven and try to come back into earth and sell it. It's amazing to me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how we sit back and we are deceived. I love Bishop Jakes. I love everyone. Okay, and his ministry has helped me in the past. Let me say that. But let me tell you this. I've also seen a change of course here. How can you be on a set with a woman in that shape and not discern that she's messed up? How can, are you telling me that you come into contact with these individuals in Hollywood
and you're a spiritual leader? Yes.
Anything. You are leading 20,000 plus people and you have no more discernment than that? That is mind-blowing to me, and it is heartbreaking, and it speaks of the desensitized state the church has gotten into, because, hey, as long as my gift can gain great big crowds, bring me loads and truckloads of money, why do I have to worry that you're dying right in front of my face from a disease? I could just act like I didn't see it.
Wow, that's something. Maurice Alford, man, young boy, young girl, wants to enter into the music industry. What word of instruction or warning do you have for them?
Yeah, just surround yourself with good people. You got to have people that are focused, and somebody needs to be able to say no.
Keith Shaw, what warning, what word of warning do you have for people that are entering into the entertainment industry based on what you have you seen drugs destroy people's lives and has caused a stumbling block for folks? What words of caution and advice do you have?
If there's anything that you can be fearful of, it's putting anything in your body to alter your thought process. Because once that happens, strongholds take place. And when a stronghold takes place, you don't know where you're going.
And a stronghold are things that hold you strong.
Absolutely.
That's got a tight grip on you.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing that you guys mentioned, the problem with a lot of times we are transferring for those. Whitney started off great. She was, I seen a clip where she said, I thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for where I'm going. And this is one of the Grammys, one of the first ones. And then you look and our people, we are transferring God's glory into an image of man.
Wow. Prophet Jordan Rogers, Keith Shaw just said that he saw Whitney Houston say, I thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She sings songs about Jesus. We watched every cussing and foul lyric rap artists stand up at these award ceremonies and thank their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, what does it mean when they practice one thing, but yet they speak Jesus out of their mouth? What's happening here?
A desire, you know, a desire that comes out of the lips, but a heart that's far from it, man. You can't halfway love God. You got to love him with everything. And you know, my advice to young people, man, is really watch your connections, because, you know, if something's influencing, if someone or something is influencing you more than you're influencing them, then, you know, it's going to lead you into some serious trouble. Be your own person. Be your own individual and make up your mind that you will not do anything to harm you. And as you go in success, watch, you know, Bobby Brown played a huge part in Whitney's fall, and you have to watch who you connect with. that that is going to be that's going to aid you in going the other direction than which you set out to go into.
Now, I watched Dear Reality Show, being Bobby Brown. You know, and you know, one thing for one two things I learned from that reality show. The one thing I learned is that Whitney was just as ghetto as Bobby, number one. But yet, but she had the benefit of being able to put on an evening gown and getting her hair and hands and feet done, okay, and putting heels on. The other thing was is that they showed where Bobby and Whitney had gone to London, England, during one episode, and they had visited the great Harrods department store, and the owner of Harrods was in a conference room with Bobby and Whitney, and he, on camera now look at this, on camera, he gave Bobby Brown drugs to use. He said it was a more potent form of Viagra, and told him how much he would enjoy it. So here we have the owner, Muhammad Al-Fayed, giving Bobby Brown drugs on TV. So I learned, I said, this is bold. I'm like, I couldn't believe that I was actually looking at this on television, that this was actually taking place. My question to you, Prophet Jordan Rogers, can a person get their soul back after they sell it?
Ooh, what a question. What a question. It would take a miracle, sir. And it depends on what, I mean, there are levels of, I believe, selling a soul. I really do believe that sometimes you can sell yourself out in terms of a relationship and you create the soul tie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sold your soul, you got to get your soul back. So you got to fight to get your soul back. And there are ways you can fight to get your soul back. Here's where you run into a problem. Will you even want them? Do you even, can you obtain the mind to even want it?
Wow.
And that's where you cross over into the whole reprobate situation where you've lost your soul, but you don't even know that you need it back.
The Bible calls it a reprobate mind.
And so maybe you don't even want it back. Maybe you don't even know that the value of it. You sold it, but now it's gone, and you don't have any sensitivity of even needing it. So at that point, it's irrelevant because you have no desire. And as a free will agent, it doesn't matter what we say, not even Jesus can make you do what you don't want to do.
Well, I believe there's nothing we can do for Whitney right now. Whitney's fate has already been sealed. I know there's folks that think they can burn candles or what have you and pray her out of a certain state, but I don't believe there's anything we can do for her. But I pray that those that have not yet reached a negative decision, my old man used to say, that's my daddy, I don't want you to misinterpret it, my father used to say to me that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Maurice Alford, thank you so very much for joining us, sir. Thank you, Keith Shaw. Thank you, Prophet Jordan Rogers. This is the Reverend John Coates. Don't you find yourself in a situation like Whitney Houston found herself in. This is TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, radio the way it should be heard.
Thank you for listening to Politics with Reverend John Coates, heard exclusively on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Thank you for listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
Profile America for the Black History Month. Jazz singer Betty Carter showed her talent early on and was singing with Charlie Parker at the age of 16. She later performed with Dizzy Gillespie and Miles Davis and toured with Lionel Hampton, who gave her the nickname Betty Bebop for her scat singing ability. Carter recorded a hit version of Baby It's Cold Outside with Ray Charles and sang at the Newport Festival and the White House. Her album Look What I Got won an Emmy, and her recording of Open the Door was featured in the soundtrack of the Academy Award-winning movie American Beauty. In 1997, she was awarded the Medal of Arts by President Clinton. There are nearly 180,000 musicians and singers across the U.S., about 9% of them African American. This special Profile America for Black History Month is a public service of the U.S. Census Bureau.